Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
The reality is, it's really hard to trade goaltenders right now. There's 90 goalies that think they can play in the NHL right now, or teams think they can play in the NHL right now around the league. The reason you trade Allmark in the summer is because that's when teams want their goaltenders. That's when they want to get set up. Beyond that, right now, everyone's kind of, or feels like they're set in goal right now, or certainly feel like they're set, or can't afford a $10 million goalie right now. Because don't forget, you got to figure one of these teams that wants them has to work $10 million into it if you are trading them. So I think it's really, my answer to the question is, it's really hard to trade goalies right now, especially ones that want to play 50 or 60 games, because most teams are set in that position right now. So that's why I think a trade's still fairly unlikely, just because it's really hard to do when teams are trying to get under the cap at this time of year.
Andrew Raycroft, when he joined us earlier today here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. If you missed any Eraser earlier today, a little sample there, Audacy app, AUDACY. Get that on your phone. It's free. It's easy. Take it with you wherever you go. You can also seek it out on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. Our Tommy Curran interview lives there as well. So check that out. Let's play that out a little bit.
Play
the
game.
He says it's hard to trade a goalie now. Teams are set. Teams are close to the cap, which I definitely
I'll take his word for it. That's a lot of money to sort of re-budget.
Oh, I was going
to
say, I get the cap thing a lot more than I get teams are set at goalie. Like, a lot of teams could use Jeremy Swayman.
Yeah,
but with
right.
a hard cap, I understand last-minute maneuvering is difficult. It's not impossible, but it's difficult. I get that. Then I guess the question would be, what was the time to trade him when you traded Allmark? Was there a move to be made with Swayman instead? I wouldn't have done that. I would rather have Swayman than Allmark. I think the Bruins are doing the right thing picking Swayman. They now just have to follow through and pay him.
Do you think
I like trading Allmark, but like that,
yeah.
When you traded Allmark, that would have been the time to trade Swayman, right?
Well, it feels like they missed their window both times. They should have traded Allmark a whole year earlier.
Well, on their defense on that one, and it's part of why I was just done with him.
Yeah.
They tried to trade him multiple times. They tried to trade him at the deadline.
True.
They tried to trade him last offseason, and he has a no trade clause,
yeah.
No movement clause. Swayman does not.
Although you got to wonder, that's never even been brought up. Do you think that's holding up this a little
part
bit?
Part of what they're haggling over?
Maybe. Like, I mean, Sweeney's pretty famous for giving everybody no trade clauses,
say,
so
like,
maybe that's not the problem.
Like, who's,
but I don't know.
Who's right on that one?
I was going to say, maybe stop giving everybody no
they
trade clauses.
They give everyone a no movement
yeah,
clause.
Yeah, yeah.
So, look, I get feeling burned by Allmark, but
yeah,
talk about a precedent being set. You want to cite comparables and precedents, and
you
like,
think,
you're not going to give them a no movement clause.
Do you think if they knew right now, like, or back then, if they knew how difficult it was going to be to get Swayman signed, that Ullmark would still be here and Swayman would be gone? Now, it's not the easiest thing to trade Swayman either, because that's like, what's his value with the restricted and like all this other, like, it's not as cut and dry as like, here's Ullmark, he's already on a deal, you can take him, here's what he got.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that's, it's a second guess, because I wouldn't have traded Swayman, but if you should know what he wants and what he's asking for and what, how strongly he's going to stand by that. Like, you should know your player. And it feels like somewhere along the line, they didn't know. Either they didn't really fully communicate it, or they didn't realize
they
how dug in
to.
He was.
Yep.
They probably just thought, here's a number and we're going to make him take it, in which case, force him to arbitration. They didn't do that, and he took them to arbitration the year prior. They didn't offer him a deal then. So I think there's a lot of things the Bruins screwed up. But if you want to say $8 million a year is fair, fine. That is a fair offer. But I think we're well past fair, personally, is how I feel about it. So final hour here, Jones and Keefe. We'll get to the grab bag coming up here about 15 minutes from now. So stay tuned for it. Let's just walk you back through everything that went down in the last 24 hours.
It's been active.
Yesterday, Cam Neely came out and said Jeremy Swayman has 64 million reasons to go out and play. He wants to reset the goalie market. We think we're going to settle things here, and he'll be a Boston Bruin. But I'm surprised at his ask. Okay, I'm paraphrasing, but that's largely what Neely said.
Also, to clarify, because this comes up a lot, I don't know what year they changed this, but you can only give guys on your team an 8-year deal.
No, that's worth reiterating.
It is.
Because we get that that text has been coming in.
It's not
steadily.
10, 6.4 a year for 10.
Right.
It's got to be 8 for 8.
At least.
And if it's less years, then it's even more money, which I don't think
they're
going to do.
And Sweeney said in a separate answer that it's max term. So if you add the two up, it's 8 for 64.
Which I'd heard they're not going to go north of 8, but sounds like they're going right to 8.
Okay,
that's sort of what the offer is, or so we thought.
Well, so let's get the response first. Here is Jeremy Swayman's agent last night, Louis Gross. He says, normally I don't release statements to discuss negotiations through the media. However, in this case, I feel the need, rather, to defend my client.
Okay.
At today's press conference, $64 million was referenced. This is the first time that number was discussed in our negotiations. Prior to the press conference, no offer was made reaching that level. We're extremely disappointed. This was not fair to Jeremy. We'll take a few days to discuss where we go from here. And then we get earlier today, Frank Ciravelli. He's no Scoops Keefe, but he is a newsbreaker out there in the NHL. You know, again, no one has the pristine track record of a
100% hit rate.
No one has that.
Correct.
Except for, of course, Scoops Keefe. He says Boston's actual offer to Jeremy Swayman was 8 years, $7.8 million. Which calculates out, Keith, not to 64, but 62.4. Swayman's camp has been asking for 8.5 AAV, $68 million. Boston was somewhere closer to 6.5 AAV until they moved up, and they feel like they've moved up by a lot. So what do we make of the last 24 hours, where we stand, and what it means for the Bruins and Swayman going forward?
I think it's gotten real ugly. I think Cam Neely kind of wore it on his sleeve and said as much yesterday. Like, he was just so annoyed with how things are going. I think Don Sweeney was trying to be much more professional about it, and much more like, let's leave the communication open and there is going to be a back and forth. And obviously it's taken much longer than he thought, but I don't think he was looking to burn any bridges. But I think Cam Neely was like, I don't care. Like, I'm going to come right out and say $64 million. You and I both thought it'd be kind of crazy to make up a number right now in front of the media with, you know, Sweeney and Jacobs and Montgomery all sitting right next to you to just throw out this number if it's not true. Now, does this Ciravelli report give you any thought that maybe, just maybe, he round up slightly?
That's what I think.
I feel like it's reckless to do that, but maybe just the whole way he went about it wasn't planned.
He's like, we're giving
him, lost his cool.
That's what I think. I think in his mind, he's like, well, we're offering 7.8. That's basically 8. 8 times 8 is 64. He's got 64. I think that's what he did.
It could be, but
and it got away from him.
Then the agent is like, well, this is my opportunity to pounce on it,
right?
Because 64 has never been brought up.
They're actually offering 62.4.
Even if it was 63.9, he could say, well, number hasn't been brought up.
And in fairness, the agent's being weaselly there.
Yeah,
but
factually correct.
Yeah, and Neely's being an a-hole for revealing the number.
Yeah, but
like, you're not supposed to do that. We're negotiating here. If you want to leak numbers out, let's leak numbers out. Your number is not 64,
true.
So let's play that game. You started it, Cam.
But I have 64 million reasons why I'd be playing right now.
It's actually 62.4, according to Frank Ciravelli.
But I don't buy really all the latest.
You don't buy the 8.5 ask.
So the 8.5 ask, I thought, certainly was 10, and everything kind of backs that up, too.
Yeah.
Cam Neely being shocked by what the ask was.
Cam Neely saying he wants to reset the goalie market.
Swayman saying it on a podcast.
That's
like
true,
there's so many different things along the way. Even some of the other national writers were going up to like 9.5. I think it was higher than that, but whatever. It certainly wasn't 8.5. That seems low. Now, where the wiggle room is, I guess, in the reporting could be maybe they eventually asked for 8.5. Maybe that was sort of their back and forth where they're like,
we're
6.4,
at 10, you're at 6.
10.
Right.
They're like, well, we can do like 6.5, 7, like 8.5. Like maybe they lowered it all the way to 8. Maybe. I can't confirm that one for sure, but I don't think you get the reaction yesterday at the press conference by Cam Neely specifically if the two sides are off by $5 million over the course of 8 years. So Swayman would take 68 overall. The Bruins would offer 62.4. And rather than being like, hey, guys, I think we're getting close. Hopefully he's here before December 1st. It's 64 million reasons to be here. And I can't believe what he's asking for. This is crazy.
Right. And
like,
then,
you don't act that way.
And the agent says we're going to take the next couple of days to reevaluate.
So we're going to reevaluate. It's like, you guys can't come together on $4 million.
So that's a veiled trade request threat.
Yeah.
And Neely's revealing the numbers. Okay. Keith, I asked you earlier, what's the likelihood, and this is not reporting, this is just your guess.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the likelihood that Jeremy Swayman gets traded? You said?
I think it's 50-50 at this point. I really do, just because this, I don't think either side thought it was going to get here. Even if Swayman wasn't signed yet, I didn't think it was going to be as publicly ugly, right? It's one thing for Spit and Chicklets to have a report here and there, like Scoops Keefe to have a report here or there, like whatever, and like Elliot Friedman. But for Neely to come out and say what he said, for Swayman's agent to come out and say what he said, that doesn't sound like tomorrow a deal is going to be done.
No.
You know, so I think they're pretty far away. And then, oh, by the way, the season starts 1 week from tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty soon we're going to see games that count with goalies other than Jeremy Swayman. And depending on how those guys do, that could factor into the trade or no
trade. Big
time. Yeah.
Big time. If Korpisalo comes out and looks great, Swayman loses leverage and maybe the Bruins are more open to dealing him. If Korpisalo comes out and looks terrible and the Bruins are losing games, Swayman's leverage increases and maybe they cave and they pay him. So that's a lot is riding on how they perform on the ice. Not to state the obvious, but it's true. Joe is in Lowell. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, guys.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, love the show, by the way.
Thank you.
But hey, Jones, do you have like a personal vendetta against Cam or something like that? Because if you're talking about the clip that you've been playing of him, that doesn't sound in any way like somebody throwing a hissy fit.
Oh, you don't think so? Was throwing a hissy fit yesterday?
Joe, if you watched the entire thing, there were questions addressed to Don Sweeney that he was like jumping in and answering.
He was pretty adamant.
Yeah.
Raycroft talked about this earlier, and if you didn't see the full thing, Joe, I don't blame you.
Yeah,
it was a long press conference in the middle of a workday, but
I didn't see the whole thing. Sound like a man throwing a hissy fit.
Okay, well, I'm just telling you, you're wrong. If you watched the whole thing, you would see.
You should play a different clip.
Okay, well, I can't play an hour-long press conference yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm trying to give you an example,
Joe. What you're saying, it sounds like you have something against him. You're saying he's butt hurt. You're saying he's got a hissy fit.
Yeah.
You're using words like this to try to stir some narrative about this guy that I don't think is correct.
Okay, well, it's because you didn't listen to the full press conference.
Yeah, that's fine. We can't just replay it all the time. So we're like, that's how, because I agree with Jones on this. Like, I've been saying the same thing. I think these.
I would never begrudge a player asking for what he thinks his value is.
I was surprised.
Like, that wasn't a question to Cam.
No, it wasn't.
That was a question to Don Sweeney, and he goes, well, I was surprised about it.
Yeah.
And so, look, he's not going to come out and throw the table. He's not going to flip the table over.
Well, no.
But that's
but
about
his ask is, and what we believe his comp group is, are two different things.
Yeah. Like, that was, as they say in the world of wrestling,
those are
working stiff.
He is throwing haymakers.
He was.
For an executive, he's throwing, and I bet Sweeney was pissed about it. But if you don't hear that there, then we agree to disagree, Joe. But that's as close as an executive throwing a hissy fit as you're going to get.
Yeah, I just think it was the emotional side. I do think a lot of fans are going to take his side. First of all, you love Cam Neely. Like, everybody likes Cam Neely. More great memories with Cam Neely than Jeremy Swayman. And so for him to be in this position now, and a lot of people also think that 8 is too much for Swayman, right? There's a lot of that. So I think there are people on Neely's side, but I don't think it's crazy the way that we have described it. We're not going to play the cuts every single time we reference it, but I think he was very emotional for a guy in that position. You never really see even just the straight details of an ongoing negotiation,
it never happens.
Never comes
out. When you're negotiating with a player, it's like, we're not gonna negotiate through the media. It's what his agent said yesterday. We're not gonna negotiate through the media. We all know they leak stuff out through the media, but you never come out and say the actual numbers. So if you think Cam wasn't throwing a hissy fit yesterday, then I don't know what to tell you. When it comes to Swayman, I'm totally on Swayman's side. And I have been for a long time. I think they've screwed him over on playing time and pay for a number of years. And so now the Bruins want to cry about fair. I don't think you've been fair to this guy for years.
Yeah.
I don't think you gave him a chance when you signed Allmark. I don't think they should have split time. I don't think you were fair when you started Allmark in the postseason these years. I think it should have been Swayman's net. And so, especially Allmark's first year in Boston, the year they were setting records, if you wanted to go with Allmark when he won the Vezina that year, I get that one. But Allmark's first year and last year, it shouldn't even have been a debate. It should have been Swayman. And Swayman had to bail him out 2 years ago. He had to bail him out the year prior in the postseason. And last year, it was a split going into the postseason. He started game one. Allmark got game two. Allmark crapped his pants. And then Swayman won them around against Toronto and was great against Florida as well. They lost the series, not because of him.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Swayman. Like, despite not having the resume that some of the goalies that are paid more than him have, like, this is his opportunity try to cash in.
This crying about fair is just annoying. It hasn't been fair to Swayman for 3 years. Now the Bruins want to cry about what's fair, and fans want to say, well, that's not fair. Like, I get their side on this one. I get their stance on this one, saying, no. You could have paid me last year. You chose not to. We took you to arbitration. This is the number that I got, and now things have changed.
Also,
I had a great postseason, and the numbers are all going up. The cap's going up. Pay me. Or play Korpisalo. Your call. He has all the leverage, I think. I'm on his side.
Unless your guy Korpi goes out there and has himself a nice start to the season.
Sure.
Because other plays on it, stands on his head
in
October.
I guess I don't know what I'm rooting for on that one.
Yeah, well, it's a win.
Because I want Korpisalo to play well.
So you get that check.
But I want Swayman to win the negotiation. Like, how am I going to root for that one? That's a bit of a corner I painted myself into. That's fair.
Korpisalo gets hurt.
Korpisalo plays well games.
We're not rooting for injury.
Yeah, no, we're not going to root for injury yet.
It's going to turn into a game of chicken. Like, it's already gotten to this point. We're so close to the season.
Yeah.
And then which one? I just feel like the events of yesterday, both Cam Neely and Jeremy Swayman's agent, even though it was a written statement and not a press conference scenario, I feel like it made it worse. And depending on how stubborn both sides can be, and they seem to both be pretty stubborn.
Yeah.
Like, who's going to give in? And if you had any thought of giving in, either side, and then yesterday happens,
it's less likely today any side is caving. Oh, no.
Like, you know what? We were going to take $7.8 million, but now we're not.
Yeah.
Or, like, the other way. Like, yeah, we were going to give you $8.2 million, but now I'm just so sick of thinking about it.
No, that's where we're at.
Yep.
And so what changes? And I think there's a good chance. I wasn't even at 50-50, but I think there's a good chance he gets traded in the next week.
I think
there's a good chance before the season starts he gets dealt.
I also think, and I know you feel differently, but I think the fan base is going to turn drastically on Swayman either way. So let's say the season starts out and they're really good.
Mm-hmm.
Screw you. We don't need you. We'll spend your money somewhere else.
Yep.
Or they're really bad. It's like, we wouldn't be
You're
bad
killing
if you
the
were
team.
Playing. Like, he's going to be porked.
No, I mean, people don't usually get upset with their organization, which is ironic because most people are workers and not business owners. But no, that's how most people feel about it.
That's a good one, too, when you were talking about how they screwed Swayman the last few years. Remember when they brought Tuukka Rask back?
They brought back the corpse of Tuukka
Rask. Poor Tuukka couldn't even, like, stand, and they're like, he'll be better than Swayman.
And that's another one. And so it's like, what's fair? Jeremy Swayman's not being fair. When have they been fair to Jeremy Swayman?
Life's not fair.
Dan's in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, guys. Great show.
Thank you.
Thanks. I was just calling because of the Drake May thing, and when Tommy Kern was talking about, after when they're six games under 500, play them either way.
Yep.
And it's sickening these people that always, anytime you box them into a corner and you're like, well, what if the O-line is dog water next year? You're going to sit them on the bench? Like, once you corner these people, they can never really give you a good answer. And
I think Tom eventually
he did give an answer.
I think he did. He said at some point By the end of the year, you have to see what Drake May can give you.
Right. If you go through all year and you're just like, well, we never had that perfect spot.
But that is different than saying you can't, those are not consistent. I think Tom ultimately believes at some point he has to play.
It's not
consistent to say you can't play Drake May until the situation's right. It's all about Drake May, can't play him until the situation's right. And then I go, well, okay, if the situation's never right, then you can't play Drake May this year, right? If he believes you need to see Drake May at some point this year, we agree. I think you absolutely need to see what Drake May has, which is why I don't really think it's about what's around Drake May.
Yeah.
I think it's about seeing what you get out of Drake May. We actually kind of agree on that. It just took a while to get there.
I also think, though, the roster construction kind of doesn't map out exactly what their plan is. It's poor because they don't seem like they want to play him, yet he did play week three a little bit.
That too.
He won't play, it doesn't seem like the foreseeable future. But if anything happens to Jacoby Brissett, who gets pounded on a weekly basis, to be Drake May.
Yeah, and it's
There's
out of their
nobody
control.
Else in between.
Yeah.
So it's like, you're on the one hand, you're trying to protect the guy. But on the other hand, he is one play away from taking over the rest of the season. And did you really think that Jacoby Brissett was going to be able to, either based on performance or health, keep the job for 17 games? He's never done it in his career.
And
this would be the year that he does it with this line?
And he just gets the crap kicked out of him every single week. Do you think, we didn't really talk about this a ton yesterday, do you think May should have played at the end of the Niners game? It didn't feel as out of hand as the Jets. Like, they got smoked, but I wasn't like, this is an obvious place to get Drake May a series. I didn't feel as strongly about that as I did the week before.
Well, I also was so stupid, and I'm like, I think he's probably going to play week five. I think he's going to start week five, so just give him, like, a clean game. Don't have any, like, he throws a pick in this game or anything.
Yeah, that's
like,
true,
just let
too.
Him start the game.
Like, before we heard from Mayo after the game,
I was
probably,
like, maybe he's playing week five.
No, I thought he was going to play week five.
So I'm like, just let Brissett play the rest of this game. I didn't have that same.
Don't get him hurt. Don't have him come in and throw a pick, so now he feels bad about himself going into the next week. Right. I didn't feel as strongly about him getting into the game as I did the week prior. 617-779-7937. We got your phone calls coming up here on Jones and Keefe.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few, but if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Time for Grab Bag here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. All the stuff we couldn't get to in the first 3.5 hours of the program, we get to it now. And how about this? Out of nowhere, Chris Sale, in line to be the National League Cy Young Award winner for the Atlanta Braves. Whether you've followed him or not, he has been a huge success for the Braves. He has avoided injury somehow, some way. They had a makeup doubleheader yesterday against the Mets. Playoff spots on the line. Game 2, must win for the Braves. Chris Sale scheduled to start. Can't start the game, Jones. He's out due to back spasms.
Late scratch going into a game. He was supposed to start with their season on the line, as you just said, and he's not going to pitch in the wild card round now.
No, he's not.
Okay.
Classic Chris Sale.
Let me tell you, great as Sale was this year, I never was guilty of saying, boy, the Red Sox screwed up by trading him.
That's true.
They screwed up the return 1,000%. They could have, should have gotten more than Vaughn Grissom. I never had a problem with them trading Sale. And this is one of the things I said all year. Great, he's really good in the regular season. He's going to win the Cy Young. What's he going to do in the playoffs? Now, maybe he would have helped get you to the playoffs.
Oh, he helped did Atlanta. Help him. Yeah, he helped him get there.
Well, I'm saying maybe he would have helped the Red Sox.
Oh, yeah. But you can't rely on him. And even when he was with early Red Sox, where he was awesome, and he was...
When they won in 2018, he hardly did anything for him in the playoffs.
He pitched the end... He was supposed to start that closing game, and he couldn't. Yeah. He came out of the pen, and everyone's like, ah, he closed the game! Yeah. He was supposed to start!
Yeah, and how many runs were they up in that situation?
Every August, he got hurt.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it was April, and sometimes it was May, and sometimes it was June. But, yeah, you almost thought he was going to get away with one. And I also do think that this season got him into the Hall of Fame. Like, he was so good. He's going to win a Cy Young for the first time in his career. Because I don't think baseball is going to look at pitchers the same way they used to. No one's going to win 300 games. No one's going to have whatever the 5,000 Ks or whatever.
Interesting.
I think he has...
So out of, like, his contemporaries,
I think he's one of the best.
Verlander.
Oh, Verlander's in for sure. Kershaw's in for sure.
Yep.
But, like...
Verlander, Kershaw.
DeGrom.
Scherzer.
Oh, Scherzer.
Scherzer's better. DeGrom's not better, I don't think.
Maybe not. But Scherzer,
I mean, DeGrom was better
at his...
healthy
for the last 5 years.
DeGrom was better at his peak,
Looking it up, Sale had a million top, like, five Cy Young finishes.
I think if you want to move it to top six, it was, like, five or six times before even this year. Yeah.
Led the league in Ks a bunch of times.
Okay,
it's debatable, but I would say yes.
Seven top six finishes.
In his era...
Seven!
In his era, he's a top five pitcher?
Yeah.
Yeah, that might be Hall of Fame worthy. I thought you were a small hall guy over there.
I am a small hall, but I got room for the tall lefty. I got room for that guy.
Okay.
It's not a playoff Hall of Fame. It's a regular season Hall of Fame.
He's about to win one more Cy Young than Mike Messina.
So a buddy of mine sent me this. Somebody had put a futures bet for Chris Sale to lead the majors in strikeouts. It was $20 to win $2,200, and he was four behind Tarek Skubal. And if he pitched last night, or three maybe behind,
I think it was three. He needed four. Get it?
And he got scratched. I'm like, well, that's on you
for betting
Chris $20 on Sale.
Yeah. Seriously.
Although I do know people that bet Cy Young, just like threw a little sprinkle Cy Young, and you're going to cash that.
I had tons of buddies who did that right middle of the season. Bet Chris Sale, and it's going to hit Bigley.
Bigley is right, so he will probably not be a part of the wild card round.
Grab bag.
All right, let's look at the baseball playoff brackets, Jones. Who doesn't like brackets? I know I do. So the byes in the American League will be the Yankees are the top seed, the Guardians are the 2 seed. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Your 4-5 matchup, winner takes on the Yankees, Orioles and Royals. Who do you got?
Orioles and Royals. Give me the Royals. They haven't been playing well. Give me the two worst
teams of baseball since the All-Star break.
Give me the Royals.
Give me the O's.
Okay.
Give me the O's. All right, then you have the 3-6 matchup, Astros-Tigers.
Oh, Tigers.
I'm taking Tigers, too.
Yeah, go Tigers.
On the back of Tarek Skubal.
Yeah. And, like, I mean, this is the Astros' time of year, but still.
Yeah, that's the Tigers.
I'll go with the hot team there. We learned in the break, by the way, because neither of us knew. They don't reseed in
baseball. I was wondering about that.
I assume they did, but they don't.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Now, I also did the research on that, so maybe they do.
That's true. I did no research. I'm just parroting what you said, yeah.
Who do you got coming out of the American League?
I'll go Yankees. It's a fun one. I don't think it's actually going to happen, but I'll go Yankees.
Lanny and Nick, do you guys have a stab here? Who's coming out of the American League?
The O's are my preseason pick. I'm going to stick with the O's. Even though the entire rotation is hurt.
I'm with the Orioles.
O's.
Wow.
Make up for last year's flop.
Couple of O's guys over there.
I'll take the Tigers. I feel like the team that gets
red hot.
They're hot as a pistol.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to play them.
Mm-hmm.
Who wants to play the Tigers right now? Nobody.
AJ Hinch was asked, like, what the pitching plan is. He goes, we're going Tarek Skubal tomorrow, and then it's chaos after that.
Love it. Skubal and chaos.
Yeah.
That sounds like a team that's going to the World Series.
Chaos for them, then chaos for us. That's what it's going to be.
Pumped. He's going to love it.
Right.
Rob Deere.
Oh, my God.
We're not there yet. We're not doing baseball random player of the day.
Lou Whitaker.
National League, Dodgers are the 1 seed, Phillies are the 2 seed. Your 4-5 matchup is Padres-Braves. Who do you got there?
Padres.
Yeah, Padres.
Yeah. They've been good. I mean, they've arguably been the best team in baseball since the All-Star break.
Brew Crew Mets. So the Mets get in.
I'm going to go Mets. I think I'm picking all wild card
Mets
teams.
Mets are
so fun. Mets.
Yeah, get the wild cards going. Yeah. Then who do you got coming out of the National League?
Phillies? I don't fully trust the Dodgers. They're the most talented team, but I'll go Phillies. Yankees-Phillies would be a fun World Series for a relevant anyway World Series for here, so I'll go with that.
I'll take Shohei Ohtani to get it done.
Okay.
Push them over the top. Billy, Nick, National League?
Taking the Mets.
Mr. Mets. Who?
Padres.
Okay, so we got the Fathers, the Mets, Dodgers.
Yeah.
Dombrowski. Dave Dombrowski.
I'm going with Don Orsillo and the Padres.
I like it.
I didn't kill my wife.
Grab bag.
Micah Parsons expected to miss his first game at any level of football.
Is that true?
He's never missed a game anywhere.
I didn't know that. Is he another high ankle sprain?
Yeah.
These
ankles are barking at these guys.
They're treacherous. I'll tell you what. Yeah. If you want to get out there and take the plunge that I took earlier today.
What do you have?
I went all in on Trey Sermon on waivers earlier today because I think Jonathan Taylor is going to miss with a high ankle sprain. That would be one waiver recommendation.
Who else you got?
I also plunked down Bigley on Dontavian Wicks of the Green Bay Packers at wide receiver. So that's your waiver wire look here. Cars for Kids brings that to you. The easiest way to get rid of your old car. Donate today. Your car can be picked up tomorrow. Donate now. Carsforkids.com. That is Cars with a K.
It's raining.
Grab bag.
Pete Rose died. The hit king.
You know what I heard Joe Buck say last night on Monday Night Football?
Not a great guy.
Well, he said he called him a complex man, and he was not a great
complex
guy.
Complex man?
He called him a complex man, but he said anytime you would call him, that's how he answered his phone. He'd go, Hit King.
Hit King.
You'd dial him up, ring, ring.
Yeah.
Hit King here. Hello, Hit King.
Complex character is what people say on national TV when they're like, we don't want to get emails from either side.
Right.
So I'm just saying he's complex and move on.
Yeah, not a great guy.
Were there some like statutory rape?
Oh, were there?
Either allegations or convictions.
He was in prison. He was in prison for tax evasion.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's been.
He bet on baseball and he ruined the game.
Not allowed.
That's honestly the least of his concerns. He had a lot of other stuff that he was not a great guy.
No, fair. So when it comes to Pete Rose, banned from baseball. He's a complicated man.
Like, okay.
Well, he is.
Rusty Cray. Yeah. Grab bag. It's the grab bag for you and me.
Of course, it's time for our random baseball player of the day where I give you guys clues. You all try to take a guess. It's not Pete Rose.
Okay.
It's not the Hit King.
He's the Hit King. Three World Series. 4,200 hits.
This,
dead.
This baseball player is, let me double check, alive.
Okay, good.
He played from 1995 to 2006, mostly as a second baseman.
Okay.
Played for the Mets, Giants.
Mark Grudzelanic.
No, good guess.
Okay.
Mets, Giants, Angels, Blue Jays, but mainly Mets.
Jose Reyes?
No.
Frank Catalanato.
Shortstop.
Orlando Hudson.
No. Oh, the O-Dog.
Wow, the O-Dog. I like the O-Dog. Good player. Good player.
I remember famously he was on a Sports Illustrated cover where it was like, is this the best defensive infield? And it was like Reyes, I think, was on there.
Troy Glaus?
Was it John Olerud maybe and Robin Ventura and then this guy?
Wow,
it wasn't Jose Reyes. I think it was Ray Ordonez.
Oh,
remember how good he was?
I thought we were still talking O-Dog. I'm sorry.
No, not O-Dog. The guy I'm talking about. I'm trying to give you clues. He was a one-time All-Star.
I'm sorry.
He was a one-time Silver Slugger. He was a 2000 All-Star with the Mets. Played second base.
No, Ray Ordonez?
No, he was a shortstop. Obviously, he was a shortstop.
We're just guessing shortstops, apparently.
You're just guessing shortstop. He's a second baseman.
I thought Ray Ordonez played some second base.
Any more guesses?
Yeah.
Can you rattle off the teams again?
Mets. Mostly Mets. Also Giants, Angels, Blue Jays. But like Angels, Blue Jays, like barely at the end of his career. So I would say Mets. Maybe you might remember him a little bit.
Hopefully it's not our first stump.
No, it's not Chone.
It's not.
I was just thinking Chone.
Oh, Sean Figgins.
No, Chone Figgins? No. No. Heavens, no.
He'd get you 40 steals.
He could.
Andrelton Simmons.
It's not. That's a nice guess, Andrelton Simmons.
Oh. Edgar Alonso.
Close. We'll give it to you. Edgardo Alfonso.
Is that nice?
Yeah, Edgardo Alfonso.
That's probably who I was thinking of. Who did I say? Edgar Alonso?
He was a career 284 hitter, 146 bombs, hit a 782 OPS for his career.
He was like a Jose Vidro type.
He was pretty nice.
He was like a bargain basement version of Jose Vidro.
He could pick it a little bit, I always thought. Nice. Just a little bit.
Okay. Pardon me, would you have any grab bag?
What the call?
How about this? This came across the old internet yesterday.
Ooh, Mike Bordick was a good guess. Yes.
Mike Bordick is a good guess. How about this? This came across the internet yesterday.
Uh-huh.
The daughter of Kurt Cobain and Courtney Love and the son of Tony Hawk just had a kid together, and his name is Ronan.
Nice.
That's going to be the coolest kid in the world.
Coolest white kid ever.
Ever. Can you imagine? Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, my grandfathers are cool. Oh, yeah, your grandfathers are cool?
Oh, yeah, you have
cool grandpa? Tony Hawk and Kurt Cobain. Like, oh.
Yeah, okay, I should take away the
never mind
number one grandpa mug from my my grandfather. Yeah, some better grandpa.
It also means your grandmother's Courtney Love.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, oh, well, that's wild around the holidays.
I don't know how that's going to work out for everybody, but that's what you got.
Wow.
We love grab
bags! Jones, let's take a call. Let's go to Tom in New Hampshire here during the grab bag. You never know when we mix in a call during the bag.
Tom in New Hampshire, hello.
Tom, what do you have, sir?
Yeah, yesterday's grab bag, Rich. I know you're the guy for the scoops and what have you, but you were talking about Joe. You got a little nugget from Joe Castig's retirement speech that he might be doing games next year. I got a chuckle out of it. You're going to have to dig a little harder for your scoops. Joe's been saying on the broadcast, I know nobody's following the Red Sox anymore, but for the last couple of weeks he's been saying he's going to be announcing games next year and filling in for Will and giving vacation time and stuff. So
I don't know, Tom. I think it still counts for me. No, but I appreciate that. All right, very good.
So,
Cat's been out of the bag.
Okay.
I thought I removed it from the bag. It's been out of the bag.
I thought we broke news yesterday, but apparently that's – we were just, reiterating.
Delete whatever we said, Nick, from the
underlining
podcast.
Underscoring news is what you were doing. Yeah, highlight.
Oh, my God,
grab bag? All right, a new daily feature for the month of October, your horror movie of the day.
Oh, good, because I'm not a big horror movie guy, so it's a good recommendation here.
I got a great one for you. It's currently available on Netflix and Prime, I think. It's available on both streaming services. It's called
MGM Plus.
You're Next.
Oh, great pick.
You're Next. You watch this one?
Great pick.
So it's a 2011 or 13. I guess it came out like worldwide in 13. It was released small places in 11. It's a slasher. It is a wealthy but estranged family who are attacked by masked assailants during their wedding anniversary celebration. It's chaos.
Wow.
I saw it for the first time a few years ago.
You're Next.
Excellent. You're Next. And they actually spell your correctly.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's not like most people like on Twitter and on text line.
I struggle with that one.
They kind of nail it.
I struggle with the apostrophe.
Yeah, there is an apostrophe in this. That's what they're doing.
Grab bag.
All right, what else we got in the bag? That might be it for the grab bag here. I think that's all we have.
Empty bag.
Very good. The bag is empty.
Wayno on Twitter, at JonesWEEI, at Keefe21. What's worse, answering your phone saying Hit King, a la the late Pete Rose?
Yeah.
Or doing a hurricane noise on your answering machine? Not a sound effect, but with his mouth. Hurricane Peter McNeely apparently did that.
The hurricane did that?
Yeah.
Rest in peace?
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. What's worse? Probably that.
Probably that.
Yeah, probably.
What's a hurricane sound effect?
Yeah. Isn't that a big fan of Twisters? The first Twister and the second.
Twisters.
Twisters is the
they say it's two of the best tornado movies.
Peter McNeely's still alive.
Oh, no, that's what I meant. Rest easy.
Oh, I'll get you.
Big fella.
Have a good night.
Yeah. Okay.
So sweet dreams.
I was thinking of Tommy the Machine Gun. I for sure was thinking of Tommy Morrison.
He passed away.
Yeah. Correct.
No longer with us.
The best part about the best part. So he passed away, and the local
the local Malden paper had it completely wrong.
Oh, no.
He was 47 when he died. They said he was 47. I think he was only 44. And the photo that they used was his Tommy Morrison after winning a title with promoter Don King, and it was a photo from Rocky V when he was standing next to the fake guy. This was the Malden Observer, I think, since out of business.
Oh,
but they butchered the age, and the photo that they used, they thought was Don King, but was a studio shot from Rocky V.
Got to print a retraction on that one. Switch, brilliant.
Sorry about that.
Sorry. Had the deceased age wrong.
We didn't fact check.
It's not Don King. No, we did not.
So
there you go. It's a grab bag each and every day at this time here on Jones and Keith. On WEEI. Well, let's check in. I think Andy Hart, Christian Arcan, they're going to be talking Jeremy Swayman. Whose side are you on, the Bruins or Swayman? We'll get their thoughts next.
Time now for the crossover.
Jones and Keith. WEEI Afternoons, Arcan and Hart here on WEEI. It's brought to you by the 99 Restaurant. You can visit the Nines for the new $14.99 big deal meals every Monday through Wednesday. That's four new hearty full-size entrees for just $14.99, like the roast turkey dinner. You gotta love the Nines. Andy Hart, I saw a poll you put out on Twitter earlier today.
Yes.
Pro Bruins or pro Swayman, right? Am I summarizing that properly?
Early returns are 63%. Bruins.
Okay, so that's gone up, because when I saw it earlier, it was actually fairly close to 50%, but that's moved.
We're trending toward the support being behind the Bruins.
That seems like most of the feedback we've gotten, right?
Yeah, just because they want them to play. They think it's a fair offer. They're like, what are you doing? You're not worth $10 million. You're not worth $9 million. You might not even be worth $8 million, at least in the eyes of a lot of Bruins
7.8.
fans.
That's the thing that's going to rankle me is
this,
like,
so stupid.
This back and forth between an agent. It feels like a fight where your wife says something which is technically accurate, but not really relevant to the actual fight we're in, and it just like throws a little light.
That happened in 1989. Leave it alone. No, but I think
it's annoying,
and I'm sure the agent was involved. But I just look at it like Swayman and Sweeney probably could have gotten a deal done, but they didn't, and then they both sort of turned to like their dads, which would be Cam Neely and the agent, and now they hate each other.
And the dads and were half
kids,
drunk.
Yeah, they're making the kids hate each other more than they did, and now they're like going after each other.
That is the one thing I love about executives that are ex-players. They absolutely at some point have a return to their competitive fire, even though we're in a press conference. Elway used to have it. Like all these guys, the player.
It's true.
Pops out at some point, and I kind of like it.
Well, Sweeney hasn't had to do that lately because everybody just signs. Everyone's happy to be in Boston. Yep. They love it here in Boston. No one tests them. No one gives them.
We got God's
crap.
Gift to goalies asking for a new deal.
I mean, the one thing deal? I've been saying now for
he's on Team Swayman. By the way,
so am I.
This is going to be a good. We like to say the 5 o'clock hour on the afternoon show with host one and host two is the bitching hour. I feel like this could be the bitching 4 hours. See what we did there? The witching hour. The bitching hour.
Got it.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure you got it.
Yeah, especially in the very late season.
I mean, sometimes you need things explained.
That's
to you.
Not true.
The bitchin' hour.
I'm looking forward to that.
No, I'm with Arcan on this. The thing that I find amusing is Bruins fans now saying, well, it's a fair offer, so Swayman should take it. It's like the Bruins have boned him for like 4 years in a row. And like they've taken advantage of that situation. It hasn't really been fair to Swayman. And now, because the Bruins finally make one fair offer, he should just take it. Like the whole fair idea is very convenient now for the Bruins, in my estimation, and convenient for Cam Neely.
Sure, but I also think, would you argue that $10 million, which is very sound reporting, is a unrealistic valuation on Swayman?
No.
What's he ever done?
It's not, well, I mean, he,
to earn that.
He won a round in the postseason last year.
Couple series in the playoffs.
But aren't all contracts also about the future? Yeah. And I'm more kind of, I think eight is a fair deal. But what do you mean?
That's what the agent and the player wants you to believe.
So what are you paying
for? The guy
for?
Has never been a franchise goalie.
What's Elias Lindholm?
He's never won any
25,
awards.
Andy.
No, I know. That would be my point. If you want to sign
a
four-year deal,
because you're paying for the future.
You already called me stupid. We have stupid on the crossover. Jeez, I told you the bitching hour is coming to 4 hours this afternoon.
So, it's happening today.
So if you want to argue four-year deal or a lower deal, which was
at a higher AAV.
Well, not even really. Remember, Fluto's number was 4 for 28, so 7.5.
Yes.
So no, not even really higher. But his whole description of it was. And then he can cash in when the cap will have gone up. And maybe, I don't know, you've proven something like you can play 55 games. Maybe you could actually win a Vezina. Maybe you could actually go deeper into the playoffs, buff up the old resume, which right now is meh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, meh. No, look, I mean, there's more that could be done for sure. But, like, I don't know. Guys get paid all the time. A Lindholm just got paid. What's Zadorov ever done? Like, if I'm...
It's a big guy.
If I'm Swayman, I look at it and go, what's this guy ever done? He's getting six and change? Like, what the hell? And so that's kind of where I look at it. I know it's comparing different positions. This is what Raycroft talked about earlier today.
Right.
But that's kind of where I come down on that. But the story not done on this. So stay tuned. WEEI Afternoons, Arcan and Hart. Make sure you vote in that poll. Did you tweet that out or was it the show?
I did. It's from Jumbo Hart on Twitter.
Okay, at Jumbo Hart.
Or X.
Go vote there. And stay tuned for the bitching hour. Each and sponsorship.
4 hours.
Well, that's true, but sponsorship opportunities available for the 5 o'clock hour.
Especially this time of year.
Yeah.
It feels like it has a tie in to the holiday season here, Halloween.
Sure is.
The bitchin' hour.
Love it.
Every day. Keith,
you can get a beer sponsor for us. I know you're big on the Halloween beers.
Why would I get it for you? I get one for me.
Well, you know, help a brother out.
All the sponsorships.
Seriously.
The sponsorships are everywhere.
No, please. Take them on.
Advertisers are lining up outside as we speak. So anyway, Keith, good stuff today.
Always.
We'll continue to follow the Swayman news. Stay tuned to WEEI Afternoons. We'll talk to you tomorrow on a Would You Rather Wednesday on Jones and Keefe.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts!
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.